the things we do podcast, a podcast about film, life, television, culture, mental health, and all that fun, jazzy stuff. Today, I've got my special guest and friend, Leah Rasmussen. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm excited to be here. This is fun.
I'm so glad. You're so pumped.
I am. I'm really excited.
I'm so glad. So, Leah, my first and foremost question, because I'm sure there's like a handful of people on the internet who have seen you pop up on their nerd feeds left, right, and center. I'm going to get you to do a little bio, a little bit of a backstory to who you are and what you do.
Okay, yeah. My name is Leah. I said before, I am 26 years old and I live in New York City. I'm originally from North Dakota, so literally middle of nowhere. No one even knows it's a real state. And I moved to New York in 2020, kind of at the end of COVID times. And it was just before that, I think it was in 2019 when I started up this YouTube channel where I just needed a place to like dump my reaction, because I wanted to do reaction videos to the new Marvel trailers that were coming out. And I had no way to really send it to people without it like exceeding a certain amount of like space on their phone. So I just uploaded it to YouTube. And my very first one was for Captain Marvel, because I had done them before. I had done reactions and posted them on like a fan account like forever ago, and that didn't really go anywhere. But then the Captain Marvel one is the one I posted on YouTube, and immediately like hundreds of thousands of views, just like first one. And I was like, oh, okay, this was not what I wanted it for. I just wanted it to have a link. And then after that, I did, I think, the next trailer two for Captain Marvel. And then I was like, okay, this is what I'm just going to be doing. And like my friends started to say, so are you going to do a reaction? New trailer just dropped. And I just kind of kickstarted it from there. And then I started doing, it was only Marvel, I think, at the beginning. And I just reacted to those. And then I started to branch out a little bit more. Did some like, I'm a big fan of Tom Holland. So I was doing any of his movies, any reaction to those. And then it went into like some of the DC things and just normal movies. And yeah, so that was my kickstart to my YouTube start.
Which is kind of funny that, you know, you've now kind of taken a back foot a little bit on YouTube and like kind of brought over to Instagram and done, then migrated away even there. Like, where is it going now?
Yeah, that's a very good question. The last reaction I had done on my YouTube was like 2 years ago now for the Thor Love and Thunder trailer. And that just says a lot. That says all you need to know about what Marvel's doing right now. That was kind of it for me. And then I just realized how much of a chore it became and how much I just didn't like, I got fatigued with Marvel for a bit, and I just stopped uploading because I just wanted to watch the trailers and I didn't want to have to set up everything and react and upload. I just wanted to talk to my friends about it. And so it kind of backslid, but I got followers on Instagram from the YouTube. So that's how it like kickstarted a little bit. And then I just met a community of film people on Instagram through my friends, and that I grew that more, and it just became like more of my Instagram just became like more of a like a post about like my film stuff and like what I'm doing, and the friends that were hanging out and creating shorts and fun like edits with each other. And that, I guess, is where it headed a little bit. I kind of want to get back into YouTube, and I've just been debating it a lot because it did become a little toxic with a lot of the comments and the weird, creepy DMs that I would get from things like that. And I was like, is this even worth it anymore? But I uploaded the other day my first short that I ever made, and I uploaded that to my YouTube to be like, this is probably where I want the direction of my YouTube to go to. I want it to just be me. I don't want it to just strictly be reactions anymore. I just want it to be like a place where I show it's my creative outlet, and that's what I want to do it for.
Yeah, which I think is more prominent as well. And it is interesting because, yeah, I feel like, isn't that the way of YouTube where you just become the nerdy girl who reacts to the creepy DMs being the go-to?
Mm-hmm.
Did that make you feel kind of gross?
It did. Yeah, definitely. I just stopped reading the comments after like a year or so. I was like, it started out okay-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, Captain Marvel was never met with much love. And so I would get a lot of like, oh, she's overreacting. No one can. I mean, like, I almost cried in the first trailer because Captain Marvel meant something to me as a kid.
Mm.
And I was very, very excited for her movie. And they marketed, I mean, this was the first female, like, Marvel film, like, female-led, and I was very, very excited. And I come from a military background. I wanted to go in the Air Force at one point. It was because of her. So it was, it meant a lot. And, but then it started to, like, the comments got a little better, and they were just like, wow, I love these reactions. Love how you're, like, straight to the point. But then it did get, it just got, they were fetishizing, and like I would dye my hair and they'd be like, where's the blonde? What happened to the blonde? I'm done. I'm not subscribing anymore. You're not blonde anymore. I was like, oh, okay. It was just like, and then it would get a little weirder, and then they'd find my Instagram and then they'd like send DMs in there. And I'm like, eh, I stopped reading them after a while. As soon as I uploaded my video, I exited YouTube and didn't look at them again.
That's entirely fair. And I mean, like, you know, I think quite a prominent time before even, like, even pre-COVID to now versus, like, you know, I feel like a little bit of people are a little bit more respectful in the DMs than they used to be, where it's like you get less and less creepy people on the internet just going, you're hot, you're sexy, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really weird because it's like, you know, isn't that the way of just if you're a nerdy girl, that automatically, you know, the comment section just floods with that kind of like negative connotation?
Yes, always, because it's either met with weird fetishization or it's, oh, well, you're a girl, you actually don't know anything that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, sure. Go ahead, tell me that. He's like, I bet you don't even read the comments or the comics. And I'm like, I could show you my Spider-Man collection if that would make you happy.
Mm.
But no, they would, you know, there's always in that, it's always hard in that fandom. Anything like superhero-wise, it was always like the men who felt like, you know, they had, that was theirs. That couldn't be taken away from them by females. I think the two most toxic fandoms online has got to be like Spider-Man fans and Star Wars fans.
Mm, yeah.
They're ruthless. They're sometimes sexist and racist. So it's not fun to be on that side.
It's also like Batman fans. I find like anyone who's a Batman fan.
Yeah.
Because I am under the belief that as much as like, and I had this firmly when I saw The Dark Knight, I remember I was like, that is a fine film. Like, it's a fine film. The thing that makes it is Heath Ledger.
Yes.
And the only reason that everyone praised it was he passed away not that long after. And that was why it stayed in the public consciousness, because they were like, well, he died. And I remember saying to one of my friends, I was like, I reckon if he had never died, everyone would have just been like, that's a good role, but he's done better since. And like, this friend of mine absolutely did not want to hear that, and they got so mad at me, and I was like, how? Like, you know, this is like the point of being a actor, is you are always going to do a better project later. But The Dark Knight, I remember particularly, because I was like, I watched it once and I was like, I've watched better superhero films. I'm like very, I was like, I've seen better.
That's
and
fair.
I was just met with such like, you don't know filmmaking, you don't know, like, you don't understand good quality films, like, you're an idiot, you don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, really? Is that what I'm met with if I don't like something?
That toxic, like, it's like you're not allowed to have an opinion. Because in my opinion, out of the, I love Nolan, but out of those three, Batman Begins is my favorite. Like, I love Batman Begins. And Dark Knight is the next one that I love. But again, I tell this to everyone. I said I wouldn't have loved it if it wasn't Heath Ledger, Joker. Like, I feel like if I took that out, I would have liked the movie, but I definitely would not have loved the movie. And so I was like, Heath makes that movie for me. But that's not why, you know, Batman Begins is still a better movie to me.
Yeah.
And that's met with a lot of like, it's like, oh, okay. Because every single movie that has come out in the past like few years is always compared to Dark Knight. It's always like, oh, this is the new Dark Knight of the, and this is compared to Dark Knight. And it's like, why are we still using that movie as a comparison? Mm-hmm. It's just like, that was great for its time, but also, why is every single thing met with comparison to The Dark Knight?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm more of a Superman fan than a Batman fan, but I still think those three are pretty great.
Yeah. I find it really interesting as well. And I guess from the perspective of like growing up and being in such niche fandoms, like growing up, I loved Doctor Who, I loved Stargate, I loved all these sort of random shows that people had never watched in my friend groups. They were like, these shows are like for our parents. Why the fuck would we watch them? I was like, because they're great content.
Yeah. You knew ahead of their time.
Yeah. And I think it was like, you know, the factor is now, because of the populist consciousness and because of like mass media and like growing and everything, people think they're entitled to how things shape and how things go. And I think that's where we go wrong in fandom, because you have no like control over like where the money goes, unfortunately. And I mean, like, everything's conglomeratized, like everything's owned by Disney now, everything's owned by like, you know, Sony, like those are the big properties. And you see the factor is now it's all business. Mm-hmm. It's never, mm-hmm. You know, it's never making a film for the passion anymore, which is what, like, you know, Marvel and, you know, even 1989 Batman did. You know, they made it for passion rather than profit. And you suddenly go, the moment profit's in it, the whole product just goes and does a 180 and just goes, here's how great it is. And you're like, it's not a story.
Yep. Yep. It's like the minute, oh, they're like, oh, this makes a billion. Bet this is what we're going to do. We're going to pump it out fast, but we're not going to give a lot of care into it. We just know what's going to make us money and we'll give it that.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, and I think, did you, particularly growing up in North Dakota and growing up in a military family, were you kind of the odd kid out? Was that being the nerdy kid?
It was a little bit of both. So in middle school, so I moved around a lot to like start it all. I was 10 when Iron Man 1 came out and I saw that in a drive-in theater. And I remember really, really liking that movie. Like that was, I love saying that. I was like, yeah, I was there since day one. I've been there since the beginning. But I didn't really fall in love with specifically Marvel until 2012 when like the Avengers came out.
Yeah.
And so by the time I was 14, I was back in North Dakota, kind of starting my high school year, and I had gone along loving superheroes. Smallville is my all-time favorite show. So like that was, to me, you know, Superman was my first, and then, you know, Tobey Maguire's movies, my Spider-Man, and then finally like Marvel. Everything just kind of like came together over the years. And I wouldn't say that I was necessarily like left out. I will say I was looked at weird because I was the girl who wanted a Spider-Man backpack, or my brother would get all the Superman and the Spider-Man and all those kind of toys, but I didn't. And I did find in high school, I had like two different friend groups. Mm. One was like, it's North Dakota, so it was a very redneck farmers, like, that kind of cowgirl boots group. And then the other group was my like nerdy guy friends who we all see the Marvel movies together every weekend. We'd see a lot of movies together, but they were the ones who I would sit with and like have deep conversations with, like theories and things like that over these Marvel movies. So that was nice to have, just to have someone to talk to about those things. So I wouldn't necessarily, I wasn't left out. I was just always like, I felt like if I was a boy, my love for them would be a little bit more accepting. But I will be thankful for like the guys that I did have in high school who like I was able to talk about them with. However, I only talk to like one friend from high school now. Like I don't talk to anybody else from high school. I have like one friend that I occasionally like text every once in a while. And he's still like my Marvel buddy that I talk to things with. And so it's nice to have that. But it was when I think I started to get into, like Tom Holland, and now I'm 19 years old going to college, and like, I'm really into Spider-Man right now. And I'm out of high school, so I don't have all these guys, like these friends to talk about this with. I need to talk about this with someone because my family is fed up with me, like by this point and all my talking about it. So I created like an Instagram account where that started literally everything for me. That starting this Instagram account actually like changed my future,
which is fantastic.
Yeah, it has like opened so many doors. It's the reason I'm here in New York City right now. So yeah, I started that so that I had a platform where I could just post whatever I wanted about like, and no care in the world, because I was able to find people online who also wanted to talk about the things I loved.
Because it sounds a little bit also like there was a sense that it was quite lonely.
Yeah, it was. That's where it started to get. I started to like, I annoyed my grandma so much when I lived with her, because I just like, she was the one person I like talked to a lot. And I'd try really hard. She tried so hard to get into superheroes for me. It was so cute. She'd be like, what's that? What's that one witchy girl's name? The one with the red hands? I'm like, you mean Scarlet Witch? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like her. And it was just cute. But at one point, you know, it's like I just can't keep like burdening with my grandma with all this stuff. And I had my brother, who was able to talk to a few times about these things, but is very like, you know how you have like locals who love superhero movies, but then you have the deep like theorists and the ones that deep dive into the online, like, I got to know everything about this movie and all all the details.
Yeah.
It's like, I couldn't really go into deep conversations with anybody because they'd be like, oh, I mean, yeah, sure, I guess. I was like, you guys just don't get it. But then when you find those people online, I was like, oh my God, yeah, I can actually like talk to you guys and have a like deep conversation about all these things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very like, it's very freeing and very eye opening. I think it's like, you know, because I'm like you, I talked to maybe one person from high school, which, you know, like I've known him since I was like 5. So he's like essentially like an old family friend.
Wow.
But it's really interesting because a lot of the friends that I have now, it's really interesting because I always like feel that I do have some friends who nerd out like on superhero films, on like, you know, I have two friends who I talk to a lot about like Marvel and what they're doing and, you know, like in terms of comic book storylines that they're going to adapt. And I have a couple of friends who I talk to about Doctor. Like, I have, like, little mini groups that I nerd out with. But it's so interesting because at the same time, I feel like being such a deep, deep, passionate nerd of something and a passionate lover of something is so unique and very, like, specific. And for, like, you know, like, I'm in the same, but I was, like, told to like for a long time to grow up, like I was sticking to one thing that I was like really passionate about this, or my favorite was like people aren't gonna want to date nerds, like, you know, people don't want to be with like someone who's just obsessed with this, you know, like they don't want someone with collectibles. I feel like there was a little bit of a stigma around, but also like the other thing like was that if you were a nerd or something, like I have a lot of female friends and I think I got quite fortunate because I was able to go and see movies and stuff with them. But there was a lot of assumption that we weren't dating, but everyone was like, you two should date because you're both nerds of this thing. And that was a constant pressure that was put on by people as well. Did that happen to you?
I want to say with that, probably that one guy that I'm still friends with in high school, it did happen a few times. It was like, oh, but you guys are always geeking out together and you have so much. I probably didn't help the case when I asked him out to prom because I wasn't like, no one was asking me and I didn't want to go alone. So I asked him because, you know, he was my best friend at the time. I was just very casual. I was like, hey, want to go to prom? Cool. But I never really, just relationships in general was never the great, like, I've only had one boyfriend my entire life and it lasts like 4 months in high school. So I don't even really like to count it because guy was a dick and I did not like that situation. But I guess that guy probably was the only pressure nerd wise, like where it was like, oh yeah, you guys geek out a lot, you know, you have a lot in common, you might as well like date. And I was like, no, because I see him as my brother. It was like, it was kind of weird at that point. But other than that, no, not really. I mean, I found like this whole new group, like this whole new set of friends that I have out here that I love. Like, I am so, so thankful for finding this group that I have now. I'm so blessed. Oh my God. We all have so much in common now, like, cause I found the nerd group that is very into comics and superheroes, but is also super, super heavy, like dreamers of becoming in film, which is what I want to do. And everybody else, we're always, always like this past few months, we've just been on everybody's set, just shooting like, someone short or helping someone write this movie and, little things like that. But back to the whole, like, relationship thing. No, not too much pressure other than that, probably that one guy in high school.
Yeah, I mean, like, because I was gonna ask, like, how do you view relationships? Like, are they something that you're like, why do people bother, or is it something that you've just never been interested in? Like, what are your stances on it?
I am a hopeless romantic. Like, point blank, I am that, you know, I am dreaming of Prince Charming all the time. I had this like obsession with this guy in high school for like 4 years. And I had never said a word to him. I didn't even really know him. he went to my church. He was gorgeous. And I, you know, like knew about him through friends and kind of like knew who he was. And he had a big family. And, I was just like, oh yeah, I'm going to marry him one day. And now I'm like, girl, what were you doing? You wasted 4 years of your life on this guy you never even said a word to. And so, I mean, there's that. I've always, you know, I was that person too who would be like, oh, ew, Valentine's Day, or ew, romantic movies. I don't like those. Those are so unrealistic. But deep down, I'm like, no, I am dreaming of my notebook moment. Like, I very much want that in life so bad. Like, I think my perspective of it has changed a little bit because I remember growing up as a kid and being like, yeah, I want a husband right as soon as like I'm an adult and I want kids immediately. And then I realized how like I'd be giving up a lot of my life in the beginning because I was like, I want to get it right after high school.
Yeah.
Now, if I did that, like you mentioned a long time ago, you were just like, you know, if you had stayed in North Dakota, would that have been your life? And I was like, probably, because I wouldn't have gotten out. There's only like a handful of guys around my age that I'd probably be stuck with. I've been able to say that I lived my 20s in New York here because like I got out. And I'm still searching. However, I am in love right now, actually. It's kind of fun to talk about. I'm very much in love with my best friend right now. And we have this situationship that's been going on for like a year and like 3 months now.
Now, when you say situation, Sid.
Oh, boy. It is... it's messy. That's why it's very messy. And it's very much like there is an ex-girlfriend involved. And I mean, sort of, he doesn't, you know, not so much anymore. Cause he's very much like, He's like, if I could change or if I could, you know, he's like, I wouldn't look back. If it was up to me, he was like, I would not look back right now and we'd be together. And I was like, oh, okay. But we're not. And it's still, we are and we aren't. That's what's confusing. And every time I try to like tell people this, they're like, huh?
Right.
It's like, but wait, that's still going on? What's going on? I don't understand. It's just two friends who are in love with each other, but are focusing really hard on our careers right now and not trying to put a label on anything. And yeah, so that's kind of where we're at. Cause like right now he's like, he just got me Valentine's gifts and we have like somewhat of a movie plan idea. And I've never had a Valentine's. I've never been given flowers. So I was always like, I'm a little skeptical on things like this. Is like, oh, is this, since we're not really a couple, does this really count? Or like, you know, I think I overthink so much into it.
Yeah.
But it's totally fine. It's totally fine.
I mean, is this become like a sort of like unlabeled casual friends with benefits kind of like shtick? Don't know what to put it on it.
In a way, but also it's more than that. And it's hard. That's why it's so hard, because the way I explained it and I told him, I was like, we're basically in a relationship with all the benefits, but none of the responsibility.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I know. And he's like, I understand. I totally see it that way too. And we had kind of a rough reaction when like a lot of our friends found out. And so there have been a lot of like this past year, us kind of just like hiding things, not necessarily hiding as in secret. We were just like, you know, not sharing any of our intimate, like, you know, like we wouldn't hold hands in public if we were around our friends, or we wouldn't like be that close or things like that, just so we wouldn't make anyone like freak out. Because like when you have two friends in a group and one of them just like broke up with his girlfriend and then is with his friend, and it's like, they're all like, what's going on? What happened? And it's a little messy. But again, it's not just friends with benefits. It's definitely more, because like we just had a conversation the other day where I, you know, was like, listen, you don't see me in the long run. I don't know if I can do this anymore. And then he like broke down and was like, listen, you're the only person who understands me. And he's like, you're my person. And so I was like, yeah, hear that for me too. And it's like really hard, because that's just who we are with each other right now. Mm-hmm. And I think in this time, we still need each other. But I don't want to hold out to like have any expectations. I'm just trying to make my films and have a good life and see where things take me. I don't, because again, like I've had troubles like finding people. Like I've never had, like I said, I never had a boyfriend other than that one in high school for like 4 months. I was like, I don't know if it's a me thing or what, but I was like, no one, there's been no one until him. Mm. And I just was like, I don't want to start over with what's your favorite color. So we're just, taking things. Like literally day by day.
I think that's also like the most responsible thing, even though it sounds like a muddled, like chaotic mess. But I mean, I've never met a relationship that didn't start out easy as well. Like the good ones. Like I definitely think some of the better ones have started out really complicated but just made the most perfect sense. I also, it's interesting because I was a little bit the same, but I definitely think when I first met someone who was like really into me, it was just kind of like you put everything into it. And you know, I remember something that Em and I, when we started dating, we went to one date and we both just sat there crying because we didn't want each other to be like absolute assholes. Like we were just like, we don't want to just keep restarting. you know, from the get-go. So it's a really nice, like, point to start a relationship and be very open and honest with each other. But it is interesting because there's only so much emotional turmoil that you can also drag yourself out with. And it's not, I mean, this is the thing as well, like, you know, I always say this, but, like, you know, there is a lot to be said about, you know, being, you know, emotionally close and physically close with someone, because you've put everything into it. And, you know, it's that chemistry, it's that, like, human proximity where, like, oh, you know, like, we need to be together. And I think a lot of it is, like, relationships, what, you know, it's like what you said, you're a hopeless romantic. The relationships never go the way we think they do, and we never end up with the person in our dreams, and it's always much more, like, complicated. But it's interesting because I'm, you know, quite similar to you in the regards that it's just, it's very lonely when you sort of think it's a you problem. And it's very much like, am I, you know, and not lovable? Am I, is this, like, and it's like, it's so many false, you don't want to live in false hope. You don't want to constantly live in false hope and not feel like you're worth someone's time. And you want to publicly express that and know that you can be outwardly in love. But, you know, that's the fucked thing. It's also like, are you a deeply emotional person?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very deeply, very emotional, very anxious attachment style type person. So I feel things times 10.
Yeah.
Can be crippling.
Does that weird people out? Because I know, like, being one of those people, it can be very kind of like people don't know what to do with it, and they kind of go, oh, that's a lot to deal with. I'm just going to put you in the too hard bucket.
See, that's how I view myself. I'm like, I think that's what I think people think of me. However, apparently, you know, I've talked to some of my friends about it, and they're like, honestly, Leah, you for the longest time were a mystery to me. They were like, I'm still like finding things out about you after being friends with you for almost 7 years. And it was because I always thought I was just too much, but apparently I was, to them, they were like, not enough. Like, not in that negative term, but as in, like, I was a very quiet person. I very much held back, kept my emotions within. I'm a very emotional person, but it wasn't something that I shared. It wasn't something that I did outwardly. It was a very inner emotional, like, personal beat up. And I kept a lot of things to myself. People would have to kind of sometimes pry that from me. And I remember the guy that I'm just going to say the guy that I'm with right now. I remember him telling me that he was like, you know, sometimes that it hurts the people around me because I'm holding with so much in and all they want to do is help. And they can't if I'm holding back too much and not letting them in. And so that's something he's kind of actually taught me to do a little bit more. And now I'm becoming more open and more aware of my feelings and not too, like, I'm not scared to say them as much anymore. And I'm glad. So I'm not at the point where I think I'm too much. I do apologize for it a lot because I cry a lot now. I realize I was like someone who never cried, like, in front of people. And now I was like, now I get kind of a little too emotional, especially around him when I'm talking about my feelings. And I'm like, I don't even know why I'm crying. I'm totally fine. It's just, they won't stop coming. So it's like one of those now. So I don't want to say, I don't think it's too much, or at least I hope it's not, but I do always, always feel like I have some sort of burden with me where I'm like, now that I talk a little bit more, I'm like, oh, now I'm just too much. Now no one can handle me. Now I keep telling myself I need to revert back. I need to keep quiet again. I need to stop, you know, being too open, because I liked, it was a little comforting when I would keep things to myself. because I could suffer in silence. And I'm very, I need people around me to be happy. That's kind of a little controlling factor, I know. But it was like, if the people around me aren't happy, then I just get like, I freak out because I'm like, oh God, like, how do I make them happy? How do I make, you know, because I used to, my mom used to be very, very temperamental, and she would get like, she has like anger management problems. And if she was angry around the house, then the whole house was walking on eggshells. And I remember just trying to do like anything and everything to help and try to make mom happy so that the rest of the house could be happy. And so I think a little bit of that trickled into who I am and things like that. We love a little sprinkle of childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yes, I am very much an emotional person. But I try to give just enough to where I can still let people in, but I still do hold back a little bit where I'm like, I won't be a burden.
Which is really interesting because, like, I have that mentality too. And I think that, you know, childhood trauma, like, trickle it in, mm-hmm. as you were saying. But, you know, I really think about it even at 32. I love my family to bits, but it's sort of like they are very kind of private. And even my brother, who, you know, like, I'm close to, but I'm not super close to. And I think I always felt like I was the difficult child, like I was the odd one out. And, you know, like I was a handful, and mum kept saying like, oh, don't be too much for people, you know, always, you know, don't be too much. Oh, you're putting yourself too much out there. Oh, people don't want to hear this. Like, and so I can relate to that. And I think it's also like, I don't know, there was a huge sense, like, and I've always sort of been just like very open about like how I feel about something, which I think has also taken my family off guard because they're very filled with politeness. And I'm like, rather just, you know, make people happy and make people feel wanted and cared about. And I often think of that, like, wear your heart on your sleeve and emotionally care about people. But it's also, it's very nerve-wracking because it's like, at the same time, like, that fear of rejection is still so, like, am I going to be too much for someone? So if I put it on the back burner and don't be too much, will they want to be my friend? Will they want to not know me? Like, you know, and it's such an older mentality as well, like, when you get into your adulthood. But you always feel like you have... like, what can you value to give to your friends? Why would they still want to come back to you and be your friends? And why would your partner want to still come back to you and be your partner? Like, you're like, and I remember for ages, and I don't know if this is like you as well, but you're like, are my interests, like my, you know, fandoms and my life, the interesting thing about me? But, you know, what am I without my hobbies? Am I not interesting? Have I got nothing of worth or value to give to people if I'm not offering like my entire self to them to people please them? And I mean, do you feel like that's been you growing up?
I very, very big, like, I people pleasing. It's been something that apparently is not very subtle in my life, where I was like, you're such a people pleaser. I was like, yes, I know. I understand. It is because I just want you to like me. Mm. And so I'm definitely a people pleaser. I'm really trying to, you know, I don't want to give up on that, but I'm trying to not let it like be taken advantage of. But I definitely am someone who, I'm very good at reading people, I feel like, because I have pretty good, I don't want to like, you know, like brush my shoulder and say I have really good intuition, but I do feel like I have pretty good intuition, and I'm really good at reading people. And I always try really hard to adapt to that person. You know, if they like something, I'm going to try to, you know, say it's a show. They really love the show. I'm going to go home and I'm going to watch that show so they have someone to talk about it with.
Mm.
Or if they have a book and they're talking about this book and they're like, oh my gosh, you should read this book. I'm going to go home and read that book so that they like feel seen, feel heard. I guess it was something, you know, like I've always wanted somebody to do that for me, but I love doing that for other people. And so like I would have, but then I started to like, this is where it got crippling because then I stopped knowing who I was because I was so into everybody else's hobbies and everybody else's like interests. And I don't know like what kind of music, I want to say like, I don't even know really what kind of music I like because I'm over here listening to, you know, these certain bands because this is the vibe of one person, or I'm listening to grunge over here because, you know, my best friend loves this, or I'm watching these movies. I used to be such a hater on DC. I'm so sorry. But like, even as a Superman fan, it was very biased because I just loved like Smallville. But I was very much like that, you know, only Avengers, no Justice League kind of a girl. And then I move up here and everybody's a DC fan and I don't want to be like, oh, well, okay. So I'm just going to sit here and watch all of the, like, I'm going to be so into Zack Snyder. I'm going to be so into like everything right now. And so that like, they'll see me trying and they'll be like, oh, she likes DC too. Cool. I can talk to her now. Cause I feel like, oh, if she didn't like DC, I'm not going to give my, I'm not going to like waste my time on her. Mm. And I have just need to be like, I need people to need me. And it's so probably not healthy. Probably it's not really healthy. I never used to like tell people my favorite shows or my favorite books or anything because I always was like, what's the point? No one's going to care. I tell people, oh, my favorite show is this. And they're like, oh, never heard of it. And then they'll just talk about something else. Or I tried to get one of my best friends from a while ago. She got me into everything. She was like, I like this band. I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to that. She was like, watch this movie, read these books. You have to do this. You have to get into this. And so I would. And I would drain myself trying to please her by getting to everything that she liked. But the minute I was like, hey, my favorite childhood books was The Maze Runner. Do you ever think, you know, maybe here they are. If you want, you want to, and they're also got a movie if you want to watch the movie. And the entire friendship, she never did that. I talked to her years later and found out that she had like one of her roommates made her like watch it. And she was like, oh my God, like Maze Runner is so good. I love it. And I was like, wow, that's great. Good to know it, you know, it was me. It was just me that you didn't, you know, want to try it for. And it's just, it's sometimes, it's kind of hard when you try so hard for all these people and then you're met with nothing. It's not like I want nothing because I still will continue to be that person because I know what it's like not to have it. And I don't want people to feel that. And so I tried to go above and beyond a little bit and be like, yeah, this is your favorite. I'm going to want to like try it. Even if I don't like it, I'll tell you straight up, I didn't really like your show, but I watched it and I'll give that to you. And, you know, you can have me to talk about that with. I just want to be like needed in that. I want people to be like, oh, I want to go to Leah to talk about this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know that. I know that feeling entirely. Yeah, it's really kind of like, you know, the factor of the matter is like, and I have such obscure things that I love and, you know, like half a dozen people have never watched them. And I have like two friends, my wife has sat down and watched so much with me that she never would have grown up with. And I've tried some of her shows growing up and we've both watched, you know, discovered like, oh, we like this show more than we thought we would. And, you know, like, we'll watch it all. Or some shows we're just like, that was okay. But we just didn't like it as much as we, you know, thought. And I definitely think, you know, like we're going through all the Pixar films, we're going through the Disney films and we, you know, like occasionally we'll watch some really bad, like so movies that we, you know, like love, hopeless romantic ones, where it's like, oh, you know, like, yay. And I'm sort of like, oh, I've probably avoided this because I'm like, I wouldn't have watched it when I was younger. And she's like, do you want to watch it? I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, I'll watch it, you know, like, because it's you. But it's really interesting because, like, I know that feeling where you love something and you want people to, you know, read or watch, or especially with things you make, and especially with, like, I'm one of those friends who will watch, like, if someone makes a film or someone sends me something, I'll watch it. And I'll always, like, I'll try and read something, or I'll try and get feedback for people if I can. And but I never like people to feel like they're not worth my time. And especially because, like, I definitely have some friends who put 110% into the friendship, as vice versa. And, you know, and then I have other friends who only put, like, 10% in. They just go, when you need something, you know, like, and it's amazing because I think that's sort of like such the hurtful thing about it. And I'm, you know, like, for a long time that really struggled, and it's like still struggles with my anxiety, and like plays on my, like, how useful am I if not, you know, offering myself to others to make use for, because that's the only way they'll see, like, value in me. And I definitely feel like that is really shrunk, like, you know, that that perspective is really shrunk, especially, like, you know, I feel like people just don't think too much outside of their little, like, you know, their little bubble. They're very, like, I don't know, it's just, I'm not a very self-absorbed person. I have never got the idea of thinking of number one as you, and I love doing things for other people and helping people, and I just find it very interesting when people get very self-absorbed and they just, like, project, or they get very, like, you haven't done one thing and they suddenly get very angry at you for not, you know. And I think that comes with the people pleasing. When you do so much for someone, you miss out on one thing, and then they get really angry that you haven't done this one thing for them. God. And you're like,
yep. Why? And it's like, sometimes they only ever see, like, one way. It's their way or the highway. And it's, I don't know. Do you know, like, Enneagrams and stuff like that? Like, types? I think I may have mentioned this to you. I told you that, you know, I'm an INFJ, but I'm also, my Enneagram is a 9. And, you know, for the, you don't know that, it's like a, basically 9s are heavy people pleasers, and they will avoid conflict at any cost. And they are also someone who is always has to see, like, everyone's side to things because of how much they, like, hate conflict, and they want so much peace. Like, their ultimate, 9's ultimate goal is just peace. And I definitely am a 9. When I found that out, I was like, oh, it makes sense. I understand now. And so it was, I think, a lot of people's problems. I'm just, like, straight up, I think the world's problem is it lacks, like, perspective. I cannot, like, express how much, like, how many things would be solved in just, like, friend groups and stuff if people would just shut up and see the other person's perspective. Mm. And it, to me, I don't struggle, like, with that. I am always trying to be, like, that person in the group where I was like, okay, yeah, I see why you want to do that, but you can also, can't you also see why this person is not wanting to? Like, how do you not see that? It's so hard for people to put themselves in other people's shoes. And to me, that's, like, a hard concept to, like, grasp, that you can't, like, people can't do that. I was like, how do you go about just, like, only seeing one way? Mm. So it's really hard sometimes when, like, I'm having a conversation with someone and they're very much like, they're like, oh, I can't believe this person would do that. I don't understand why they would want to, you know, why would they want to do this in front of me and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, because this and that. Mm. I was like, they grew up with this. They have a fear of this, and they just want, you know, this. And then they're like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, I guess. And I'm like, I don't know. It baffles me sometimes. I'm just like, guys, it would be so much easier if you literally took off these glasses and saw, you know, the whole situation rather than just like what you want to do and just your opinion. And the people that are just like, oh, it's got to be my way or the highway. Yeah. I'm like, no, you're hard to work with. I'm not doing that.
I just also think, yeah, you're really like hitting a nail on the head for me at the moment. Which I love. But, you know, like I feel that is a lot of my friendships with people and a lot of conflict I try to avoid. But, you know, you can't avoid everyone's conflict. I remember I've had falling outs with friends because I, you know, was too busy to call them back, you know, because of work or, you know, and I just was like, everything okay? And they were like, yeah, just wanted to call to catch up. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll arrange another time. Like, I'm just at work. And then life would get busy, forget to call them back because brain's like a sieve sometimes. And they would be so... like, you didn't put enough effort in. And I'm like, you've called me, like, maybe twice in the space of 6 months, and we've just not had an alignment of time to meet up. And, you know, if we have, one of us has had to cancel because of various different, like, you know, things, and it's just, like, life. And it's not that we don't care about each other. And suddenly people just go, oh, I need you to call every, you know, week to make sure I'm okay. And I'm like... even for me, that's too much.
That's a lot. That's a lot. That's where I can see how you were talking about, you know, things being a little bit like too much of a burden and too much. I can't, you know, you can't be too clicky with me. You have to be like, there does need to be a little like, or not clicky, clingy to me.
Yeah.
But it kind of reminds me, like, falling out wise, I had like a, It's funny now that we're like reconnected, but I had a best friend that I met, you know, through the online fandom and stuff. And she was, you know, my best friend. It was me. This was the one I was actually talking about earlier where I was like, I watched this and I watched that. And but you never watched this for me. You know, I hate to like strictly just keep things films and books, but I mean that like in, you know, that's just the light topics of things that, you know, I want people to like. Anywho, we were best friends for like a really good 3 years, I want to say. And you know, best friends, I flew out twice to California to see her. And it was, you know, once was for Endgame when Endgame came out, we went and watched that together. Another time was, just, you know, like a surprise for her, I think it was for her birthday. And, it, you know, like I did a lot of these things. And then we just kind of like when COVID happened, you know, things started to get like a little rough in the group chat. And she started to get into like a different, she just got into a different life. She went to college. She got really into K-pop. And that just kind of like took over her. And I knew in the back of my head, I was like, if I get into K-pop, I could probably keep her as a friend because this is what we would, you know, this was the new thing that I had to get into to be able to talk to her. And I was like, but K-pop, if you love K-pop, that is amazing. That is great. They're very, very talented. But I know how it can suck you in and that can be like your entire personality. Mm. And so I was like, okay, I this is the one thing I can't do. And then we just stopped talking. We just slowly like just stopped and there was nothing, you know, it was an on no one. It was just like a, just a distance thing. And then it's been like, we're 2024. So it's been like 4 years and we're just now like rekindling.
Mm.
Like she messaged me, she reached out and she was like, I feel bad for the distance that, you know, I caused. And she's like, I want to make up things. So I don't know. I'm testing the waters right now, not to be like, I've been down this road with so many people where it's like you leave me and then want to come back, but I don't know if you've changed. So I'm testing the waters to see like where we're at, and see how well it, you know, how it goes. And if things are still going to be like they were, I won't try as hard in this. And they'll just be like one of those friends that I'm like, yeah, I'll talk to you every once in a while, but I'm not going to get too attached.
Yeah, I get that entirely. I think it's also, it reminds me of, you know, a couple of friends. So I've got some close friends who I've never met in person and have much more in-depth conversations than I do with people I see regular. And
that's how it goes. You know, like, yep.
and I think, like, you know, I remember particularly, you know, when I discovered that I was queer and, like, I was like, oh, I kind of, you know, and I sort of was like, oh, okay, you know, I'm on the non-binary side of things. And I remember talking to a few bunch of friends who were very, like, heteronormative, and they just didn't get that logic, and they weren't accepting of it, or they were just kind of like, didn't know what to say. And I was like, well, you can just say anything. Like, you can ask questions. I'm not afraid. And there was a real sense of, like, discomfort with some of them. I mean, not all of them, but I definitely felt like there was sort of like, oh, okay, that's kind of just annoying, like, you know, that friends are just choosing something based on, you know, like, anything like that. But I mean, it was also like, I don't know, there's a huge thing of, like, if you're, you know, and I felt like this is, like, with the film world as well, and I notice it so much when you're making films, like, it's a really make or break, you know, like, friendship mold when you're making films together, because it's, like, such close proximity and hard work, and then you're presenting something and making something, putting it all together. And I definitely had some friends who just didn't love it as much as I did, where I was like, I'm just going to spend, like, ages working on something, and then they'd be like, you know, you'd be coming, you know, like, they'd be like, oh, I'm doing so many other things, and I'll just get to eventually. And you do have this sense of, like, I have one particular friend who I'll always send, like, film stuff to, and we watch each other's stuff and support each other, and we've known each other for, like, 6 years, but it's always like we have had more venting conversations about, like, people we've worked with and or people we've dealt with, or people who didn't give us enough credit, or, you know, people who just kind of, like, sidelined us. And I think the thing is, like, I don't like toxic behavior. I really think it's appalling. It's bad. Like, I'm so cautious about people. Like, it's funny that you say, like, you're good at intuition and, like, you know, reading people. I'm the same. I'm really good at, like, seeing through BS, and, you know, like, I automatically feel like it's funny, like, I'm even saying this now, but I feel like I know you more so, like, I'm talking to an old friend than I am with someone who I don't know, which is a kind of weird feeling.
Oh, I totally get it.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it right now. Is you're just like, it's like, oh yeah, you've been my internet friend for years. This is casual right now. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. And I think it's like, you know, for me, that's the start of a good friendship rather than, you know, the sort of pinnacle point, because it's like, you know, I always feel like people come with trepidation. They come with rules. They come with, like, concerns and everything. And, like, I don't know what makes, when you meet someone, what makes it click for you? What makes it, like, go, I want to be this person's friend?
Immediately, like, their energy, like, how they, sometimes it's hard with some people because I know I'm like this, where I can be a little quiet on first, like, meetings, especially, like, if it's in person. I feel like once I'm online or if I'm doing something like that, I don't care. But I just have to, like, I have to know where your energy levels are at so that I know where I fit into this. So if you come, like, if you're new to a group and you come in and you are, like, very extroverted, very loud, love that. That's you. That's, I mean, amazing. But then I know that I'm going to probably submit myself to be the more quiet one.
Hmm.
But if I'm in a group where no one's talking and everyone's got this, like, kind of shy behavior, I'm here like, hey guys, how you doing? My name's Leah. What's your name? And I'll get to be, like, the bubbly, like, one that'll start things. So it's like I have to, like, read your energy first so that I know where I can fit in. I will say I have probably a hard time. I have a hard time with like girl friendships, which I hate and I wish I didn't. But I grew up a lot with like my dad has like four brothers. So I grew up around my uncles. I have brothers, just brothers. And I have, you know, my dad wasn't always there. He was in the military, so he was gone a lot. But my uncle, you know, my mom's brother or whatever, I was over. And so I have a lot of like guy bring ups. And then, you know, middle school is where I kind of found, you know, a bunch of girls and was friends around that. And felt comfortable there. But once I got to high school, I had maybe two girlfriends. But that was it. Like that was the only two that I wanted to like would talk to. The rest were just like guys. And then I come up here and right now I'm in like a group chat with just guys. I lived in a house with just guys. It has just been like guy friendships forever. And then I have two girlfriends right now who are my everything. And they are the ones I met through like the Tom Holland fandom. And I'm so glad that I am still best friends with them. But I always fear that if I were to be in person with them, it wouldn't work out. I feel like because I have a distance with them sometimes, it, you know, through it being online, you know, one lives in Utah, one lives in North Carolina. Mm. And so I feel like we're able to all, you know, we're not constantly together, but we're always there just enough for each other. Because I've noticed when I get around other girls, I get very timid because they always need to be like, there's always some that just need to be the louder ones in the group. And then there's always like, there's just a lot of things I don't connect well with because I didn't have such a like a woman growing up. Like I had my mom, but she also was just like, she was also someone who I drank Monsters with and played Call of Duty with at night. So it wasn't even like, I didn't learn makeup. I didn't learn hair. I didn't, not to be like stereotypical about like womanhood, but I didn't have, you know, a lot of that. And so it's hard for me sometimes to click with girls because of that. And so I noticed, I really don't know where I was going with this, yeah, that's that. So I was just like being around, you know, guys has just been a little easier just because I feel like I think it was mostly because of this nerdy side, because they were the ones who, you know, and I 100% love the girls that are out there who are, you know, into all this stuff as well, because I'm friends with some of them now. But like in high school and stuff like that, no other girl was going to the movies with us to watch these. And actually go there for that. If they went with their boyfriends, or they went and they'd be like, huh, what's going on? This isn't for me. And I'd be like, that's totally chill. But also I was like, and I don't have any girl to talk to about these things. Because when it was sleepovers, it was just like, oh, this boy. And it's like, I loved doing that too. Don't get me wrong. But then if I wanted to bring up something that I liked, I wasn't met with anything back.
Yeah. I totally get that. It's funny, like it was the reason I ended up marrying my wife, which is very similar. But you know, she is like a massive Taylor Swift fan and wasn't really particularly a girly girl, didn't really fit in, liked nerdy things, had a particular like different upbringing and was just like a film lover. And I think that really kind of alienates you. It's just, you know, because she was never interested in talking about boys in school either. And I just think there's always that like sense of connection that we don't want. And it's really interesting because I think, you know, like I get that worry, like I get that sort of like trepidation, but I think I can also see when I'm like, oh, I can definitely get along with this person in real life. And I know that even being online and in real life, that friendship's going to last because there's always ones that, and I think it's come from like growing up with friends who have moved away and seeing that friendship dissipate, where it's like I've started friendships from a long distance, and then when I see each other in real life, it's really nice and it does last. You know, and it doesn't always happen. Like, it's not always like completely flawless, but I think, like, you know, also the fact that you grew up in a military family and that you're surrounded with like brothers, there's a lot of element that I, you know, like remind me of like one of my friends who's very much the same. She was the only daughter in a group of boys, and it was very like she just kind of gravitated towards male friends because that was what she knew. And then like when she does have a few female friends, but you know, like it was just one of those things that I think like you gravitate towards and makes you feel at home. But it's interesting. I mean, like, do you think that's where a lot of your anxiety and mental health like worries have come from?
I definitely, yeah. I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression back in 2019. It was almost reassuring to get that and be like, oh, so that's why I feel like this. And I was on some medication for a while, but then I was on anxiety meds and then for like a few months, and then COVID hit. And that was basically like, that was like, oh, no one can leave. Everybody has to stay inside. Mm. So I was like, well, most of my anxiety stuff is gone because I'm just, you know, chilling, having coffee with mom every day and not having to do anything. So I stopped taking my meds after that. And I don't think, I feel like lately I've been better than I have been with it. I deal with anxiety definitely the same. It's become a little bit more situational now, but depression, I still get every once in a while. I have like deep episodes. I think I think with the guy friends and stuff, it did feel lonely. I would always see girlfriends, you know, have their best friends and have their things together. And I'm like, ah, I want that so bad. And I had that a little bit here, and then I screwed that up. Like, I had two friends here, and then the whole situationship thing started to happen, and that tore apart those friendships. And it sucked. But a lot of times being like a girl in a guy's like environment can go like one of two ways. You can either be the girl who, you know, they give a lot of the attention to and they all want to like put their focus on, and you know, that's the only girl, or you become their sister. And sometimes it has good days where you're like, oh, I'm the girl in the group. They're a little protective, you know, it can be like that. But I feel like a lot of the times with me, I'm just another one of the guys where I'm not necessarily, it's hard to explain because I'm a part of that, but I'm not one of the boys.
Yeah.
But I'm also not, you know, but I'm also just kind of like, oh yeah, Leah's here. Oh yeah, she's, you know, she'll handle this, but I'm not the one they're going to like gossip to or talk to like that. I'm there strictly just like, it depends on the group. I feel like one-on-one with a lot of these, you know, friends I have are great. And I have some like best friends. And when I'm in like certain groups with just a few of them, I feel seen.
Mm.
But when I'm in like this like bigger group, because I've been in these, I've been friends with them for so long, I just am just like there. You know, there's no like, that's where I start to like contemplate and get anxious about like my importance and my worth. And I'm like, if I was here or if I wasn't here, it doesn't matter. Like, I'd start to think that about myself. Because I'll tell you the most stereotypical thing that had just recently happened when we went to Jersey to go shoot one of our friends short. I wasn't necessarily needed there, but it was fun. You know, we were all going to hang out, have a sleepover at this, you know, house for the weekend and shoot a film. It was fun. And I loved it. But also, I cooked breakfast and I cooked dinner. I would cook breakfast again. And then my best friend, the guy that I'm with like right now, he was like, I see what you're doing and I hate this for you. Please just go sit and relax. Let me cook dinner.
Mm.
And I was like, thank you. Cause it immediately turned into Mama Leah, which sometimes I find fun. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, I take care of my boys. But also I'm like, man, is that what I'm really here for? Mm. It's still like one of the, like this group is still amazing. And I still like appreciate and love them a lot because they have gotten me so far in life and they have pushed me and they're still there for me. And I have like, again, like I said, once it becomes a big group, you know, it's a little harder, but I've got my select few that I've been friends with since like, I'm 26 now and I've been friends with them since I was like 19.
Hmm.
Some of them, they were like 15, you know, it was all through online and they were just like, just friends who were like, we'd play like Fortnite every once in a while or we'd, or I would like chat with them every once in a while. We'd have like group FaceTimes and just, it was just fun up until, and then I moved to New York City for most of them because a few of them, like I moved out here for school.
Mm.
But I met it, my best friend, he had gone to film school and I was like, oh, because I was going to school for nursing. I didn't say that yet, but I went to school for like nursing and I was like, it was so stereotypical of me to like get out of high school, go to college. I was going to go to nursing. I was going to have that life. And I was like, this is not what I want to do.
Hmm.
I want to make movies. And I found, you know, my friends did that here. And so I moved out for school and I had the safety net of knowing I had friends out here and it's great. And I love it because now I know that it's been a minute. I feel like it's taken me a while to really kickstart anything, but now I'm finally like taking really good production classes, finally making my first short, things like that. And I've had it with all of their help. And so it's been, you know, really beneficial. It's just sometimes, you know, you're a girl, you have those, you know, you have those thoughts in your head where you're like, nah, if I was a boy,
yeah,
you know, I'd be definitely seen different in this friend group.
Yeah. I mean, like, does that come across in like things that you want to make as well? Like in terms of stories you want to tell?
I think a little bit. My first short, I'll do a little plug here. My first short is called Anna. It's on my YouTube channel and on my Instagram. And it's just like a minute and a half long. It's not long at all. It is a little short about this feeling like you are alone, even though you are surrounded by people. It's like, I'm sure a lot of people could like relate to it. If you've ever been in a crowd or you've been around a group of friends, but there's always something of you that just feels like I'm still alone. Like I don't have that. It plays on that. And it also plays a little bit on like wanting to be independent and thinking that's what you want and feel like that's where you're going to strive. But deep down, you want those deep connections. So like I have Anna who's like sitting at a picnic or a coffee table and she notices these two best friend girls, these two girl best friends. So yeah, wait a minute. I guess this does definitely play into my shorts because she looks up and these two best friends, they're laughing and they're giggling and they're, you know, being girls. And she kind of like smiles and she's like, that's cute. But also, wow, I wish I had that. And then she hears like this laughter behind her and she turns around and it's this couple, this guy and a girl. And they're like super romantic and cute and kissy and stuff like that. And then this is where she like turns back and she starts to freak out. And she's like, oh my God, like this is not, you know, being alone isn't what I want. You know, I don't want this independence. I want that best friend. I want that relationship. And then a little bit of a spoiler alert. She's in this minute of a panic and then she wakes up. She snapped out of a dissociative state and she's surrounded by all those people. She's at this one table with all like the two girls are there. The couple is there. And the guy is like, he's like, Anna, come on, let's go. And then they all start to get up from the table, walk away. But, you know, she's struggling to get up and walk away with them. So there's a lot in there that's not very subtle. It's kind of pretty much in your face of like, yeah, this is kind of how I feel. This is very much, I feel like I'm surrounded sometimes. It's not all, this is not like how I feel all the time, but it's always been like, it's transferred from high school to now where I'm like, I've always been in these bigger groups of friends. I've always had like big cliques. And it's always like, when you have that, sometimes you start to blend in and you lose a little bit of like, you don't stand out as much. And that's what I want. I want to be someone who like, I want to be the like the one that makes people laugh. I want to be the one that, you know, people go to for you know, advice and just things like that. So when you're surrounded by such a big group, you kind of lose some of this. And so she's alone in this feeling. Like she's around people, but she still feels pretty alone. And she craves nothing more than just this one-on-one like connection with people.
I love that. I just love that. I think that's a really like, you know, a poignant story. And it just like, I mean, my real question also is like, I guess for you, you know, where do you see that part of your career going in the next 5 years? Like, where is that going for you?
I want to start by like continuing to like make, I want to build up. I have like ideas for little shorts here and there that start to big up or start to build up to a bigger short, to like a full 20-minute thing. And eventually hoping to, you know, once I have all this practice and once I start to get like, I'll have an idea for a feature film. I've definitely had ideas of like this situationship that I'm going through right now. It's given me a lot of material for like a feature movie that I definitely am seeing playing in my head. Hmm. Or, you know, I have this idea of trying to make like these best friends, this trio, I want to make like a movie about a trio of girls. And what about the one that doesn't connect with either of them? Just little things. And so 5 years, I'm not entirely sure because I've noticed one thing, time goes by hella fast. So we'll hopefully, I feel like in the past year, I've been kickstarting a lot more. So right now my goal is just to continue to make and just try to pump out as much as I can, start building up a reel of sorts. And then I guess like I've noticed the easiest way right now to get into the industry is to, you know, start your work as a PA, kind of get your foot in the door type of a deal. And I want to one day have enough together to where if someone's like, what do you do? What do you like to shoot? What's your visuals like? And I'll be like, here, this is my cinematography reel. Like this is me. And hopefully like, you know, just enough to where I can build up a little bit about who I am and then hopefully get my foot in the door. Hopefully someday. I'm doing a little bit of everything where I'm like, I'm trying to DP things. It's a little hard when I'm around people who are a lot more experienced than I am. And so they're the ones that they go to. But I want to practice a little bit more with that. I've been doing a little bit more acting in a lot of my friends' stuff. So I want to get like stuff like that under my belt because I really like to do that. And I don't know. Right now I'm focusing on my screenwriting class. So I'm really trying to work on my writing skills, which I'm terrible at. So definitely trying to like build up my skills in that and hopefully just, you know, see where that takes me. I want to make, you know, obviously a feature at one point. We'll see how long that takes.
Well, I'd love to read or see or shoot me anything. I love watching stuff. Please do shoot me script ideas. I'd love to collaborate on something with you. I would think that would be the bee's knees, honestly.
That'd be so fun.
But oh my god, I got so many ideas. Just because you're such a genuinely awesome person, and I'm just like, aww. I could literally just sit here forever listening to you.
Thank you.
I'm gonna wrap us up, but I could listen to you for honestly forever. Leah, where can people find you on the internet, though? Where can they stalk you?
So the biggest place where I like to go, I'm a big Instagram, like I love it. So you can find me at LeahNikki97. That's my handle on that. And then on YouTube, I'm just under Leah Nicole. So that's my that's my, most of the time when you type in Leah Nicole, I have, I'm at the top, I think. And my Avengers Endgame, if you see Avengers Endgame reaction or you see anything with Leah Nicole reaction, that's me. because my Endgame one is what got like mostly people to notice because that got the million views. So that's probably where you're going to find me on YouTube. If you just see that, type that. But Leah Nicole or Instagram, Leah Nikki 97. But those are pretty much, I'm on TikTok a little bit, but I don't post TikTok. I'm just on there for, you know, the endless scrolling. My handle's the same as my Instagram.
I love that.
But yeah.
I hope you've had fun. I've enjoyed this thoroughly.
This is fun. I love podcasts. I didn't realize how much I enjoyed this.
I'm so glad. Fun. You're always welcome back. Please do come back. And I can't wait to visit you because I'm going to annoy you now.
Yes.
Yes. You're stuck with me, so I hope you know that. This is like...
friendship.
Yeah, I know. We're like this. We're like, we did it. We're adulting.
We did it. It's a big step for us.
I know. It's so great. But thank you so much for joining me. And if you want to go and check out more episodes of The Things We Do, you can check them out on Apple and Spotify. I'll be speaking with another guest next week, and I'll speak to you later. Goodbye.